Osho, Seeds of Revolution, My Most Loved Gospel on Jesus. Commentaries on the Fifth Gospel of St. Thomas. Discourse number 21, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India.
Jesus said, "If you bring forth that within yourselves, that which you have will save you. If you do not have that within yourselves, that which you do not have will kill you." Jesus said, "Let him who seeks not cease seeking until he finds. And when he finds, he will be troubled. He will marvel, and he will reign over all." And he said, "Whoever finds explanation of these words will not taste death."
The search is for oneself. Whatsoever you seek, deep down, you are seeking yourself in it. That's why the whole outward search proves ultimately futile. You may be seeking wealth, but you are seeking yourself. When you attain to wealth, then you will realize the futility of it. Wealth is attained, but you remain unfulfilled. Exactly, it was not wealth that you were seeking. The direction was wrong. You had chosen to move further away from yourself, and you wanted to seek yourself. What exactly a man is seeking through wealth? He is seeking through wealth life, more life, abundant life. The mind says, without wealth, how you can live? The mind says, without wealth, how you can be secure? The mind says, without wealth, how you will protect yourself against death? Wealth is a protection against death. The search is for life. But when you attain, suddenly it is revealed that wealth cannot protect. And if wealth cannot protect you against death, how can it give you more and abundant life? No, you were seeking in the wrong direction. Another man is seeking for power, prestige. What he is seeking? He is seeking to be omnipotent. He is seeking to be so powerful that death cannot destroy. But that is deep down. He is not even aware of it. When he attains to power, then the poverty will be revealed. Hence the paradox that whenever you succeed in this world, you feel ultimate failure. I say again and again that nothing fails like success. If you don't succeed, then the illusion can be maintained. Then you think, someday or other, I will succeed and I will attain. But if you succeed, how can you maintain the illusion anymore? You have succeeded and the inner emptiness has remained the same. Rather, on the contrary, now you can feel it more against the contrast. The wealth is there all around you, and within the poverty. Light is there all around you, and within darkness. Life is all around you, and within death. That's why, whenever a society becomes affluent, rich, suddenly religion becomes meaningful. In a poor society, religion cannot be meaningful, because people have yet not failed. Their search, it still carries meaning, the outward search. They think if they can get a good house, everything will be okay. They think if they can get a little money, then everything will be okay. A poor man can live in illusion, but not a rich man. And if you see a rich man also living in illusion, remember that he is still poor. He has not succeeded yet. A Buddha leaves the palace. A Mahavira leaves the kingdom. They succeeded, and success fails you. They became alert that the whole direction has been wrong. They took a about turn. They moved into totally opposite direction. They were kings, they became beggars. They were clothes, in the costliest clothes possible, they became naked. It became a conversion. Success fails, and failure becomes a conversion. But why success fails? It fails because you were searching not wealth. You were searching not power. You were searching not security and safety. You were not searching a house. You were searching something else. You were searching the eternal home. Somewhere, there is no going away. You were searching an eternal rest. You were searching a peace which lasts forever, non-temporal. That is what is the search. Search for the home. It is not a search for a new house outside. It is a search for a state of being where you are at home. You were not searching wealth. You were searching protection against death. You were searching a life which no death can destroy. This life is going to be destroyed. Every moment, the fear is there. How can you live this life when it exists just as if you are standing on a volcano? Any moment, the explosion. Any moment, you are thrown into death. You may live 100 years, but you will tremble 100 years. Just few years before, scientists started thinking about this problem. Because now there is a possibility man's life can be lengthened as much as we want. Within this century, it will become possible to change the blueprint in the chromosome, in the basic cell. And then, to the basic cell you can feed that this body is going to live 300 years. Then the body will live 300 years. Right now, it lives 70 years because your father and your mother, they lived almost 70 years. Unconsciously, they have fed. A blueprint is carried by the cell. Within 70 years, you will die. If we can change the blueprint in the cell, then man can live as much as he wants. This has been one of the greatest dreams, to win over death, to prolong life as long as one wants. Just few years back, scientists had stumbled on the fact, now it can be done. Within this century it will become feasible. But a new problem has arisen. They thought that if this can be done, then everybody will be happy and the fear of death will disappear and the anxiety for death will disappear. But no, when they pondered over the problem, they became aware that if a man lives for 70 years, he is afraid of death for 70 years. If he lives for 300 years, he will be afraid of death for 300 years. Fear will increase, not decrease. How the fear can go? You may live for 3,000 years. It makes no difference. Only for 3,000 years you are on the volcano. Any moment it can erupt. And the fear continues. The search is for a deathless existence. And that existence is within you. You are within you. That's why you cannot touch yourself. Hands cannot move within words. They move outwards. They have been invented to manipulate the outside world. Legs cannot travel within words. There is no need. There is no space to travel. Eyes cannot see within. No need. Because your being has invented this whole mechanism to exist with things, persons, the outside. Inside, nothing is needed. Inside, you are perfect. Inside, nothing is to be done. Everything as it should be. It is already the case. The search is for this inner being, and that inner being is omnipotent. No power can become a substitute for it. You may become a Napoleon or a Hitler or anybody you imagine, but you will remain powerless. Unless you become a Buddha or Jesus, you cannot become omnipotent. You cannot be all-powerful. You may become an Einstein or a Bertrand Russell, but you cannot be all-knowing. You may collect information as much as you can, but your inner ignorance will remain the same unless you become a Jesus, a Zarathustra. Then you become all-knowing. The search is for omnipotence. Omniscience, omnipresence. Remember these three words. They are derived from a Sanskrit root om. In Sanskrit, om is the symbol for the whole universe. It carries three basic sounds, A, U, M. Through these basic three sounds, all the sounds have evolved. So Om is the basic sound, the synthesis of all the basic roots. That's why Hindus have been saying that Om is the secret mantra, the greatest mantra, because it implies whole existence. The three English words, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, are derived from Om. They mean one who has become powerful as Om. One who has become knowing as Om. One who has become present as Om. One who has become universal. One who has become all. And unless all is achieved, there cannot be any content. there cannot be a deep ultimate satisfaction. You will remain a beggar and you will go on begging. From one life to another, you will move like a beggar. You cannot be the emperor. Now, we should try to penetrate these beautiful words of Jesus. He is saying very strange things. Jesus said, if you bring forth death within yourself, that which you have will save you. If you do not have that within yourself, that which you do not have will kill you. Very strange. He says, if you bring forth that which is already within yourself, if you allow it to grow, if you help it to manifest, to unfold, that which is already there, the mustard seed, it is already there, the seed of the divine, the seed of the kingdom of God. If you help it, if you allow it to grow, that which you have will save you. You have already got it. It will save you. But if you miss, if you do not have that within yourself, that which you do not have will kill you. If you miss it, as I told you, the word sin in Hebrew means missing the mark. If you miss you, you are a sinner. It is already there. You carry the mustard seed. You don't give it to the soil, to the right soil. You don't water it. You have not become a gardener. You carry the seed dead, encased in the cell. You don't put it into the earth. You are afraid that the seed may die. The fear is true in a sense. The seed will have to die. Only the tree will be born. Every unfoldment is a death and a birth. The past has to die. The old has to die. Only then the new is born. The seed will have to die. That's why you are afraid. You protect the seed. I have heard, once it happened, one emperor was puzzled. Because he had three sons. And they all were wise, strong, talented. And it was difficult to decide to whom the father should give the kingdom. Who will be the ruler after him? And he was getting older every day. It was very difficult to decide because they were all equal in every way. They were equally talented. So he asked a wise man what to do. The wise man suggested. He planned. And he told the king that you go for a pilgrimage. And according to the wise man, the king called his three sons. He gave them same quantity of certain seeds of beautiful flowers. And he told them that preserve these seeds as carefully as possible because your whole life depends on them. And when I am back, you will have to give me the report what happened to the seeds. And the king went. After 1 year he came back. The first son, the oldest, thought he was the oldest. He was more experienced in the ways of the world. more cunning and more calculating. He thought that the best way will be to lock the seeds into a safe. Because when the father comes, he will ask for the seeds. Exactly as he has given, I will return them to him. And much depends, it seems, on this. So he locked. He took every care to find the best of all safes. He locked. He carried the key 24 hours with him, because his whole life may depend on the seeds. The second son thought that the seeds had to be preserved. But if I lock my brother, my elder brother, it may happen that in the iron safe they may get rotten. And my father may say that these iron outer seeds I gave to you, they have gone rotten. They have become useless. So what to do? He went to the market and sold the seeds. They were of rare flowers, and he thought this is the best way to sell them, keep the money. When the father comes, I will purchase seeds again, and who knows the difference? Seeds are seeds. The new seeds I can give to the father, they will be fresh, alive. Why bother about these old seeds? And then nobody knows when the father will be back, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. He has not given any date. So it may take many years. I need not get worried about the seeds. He sold them, kept the money. The third son thought, seeds have been given. There must be some significance. He was the youngest, least trained into the ways of the world. A little foolish, innocent. He thought, seeds are meant to grow. The very word seed is a growth. The very word, it is not a goal, it is a bridge. The very word is a reaching towards something. Seed in itself is meaningless unless it grows, unless it becomes something. Seed is just a passing phase. It is not the goal. It is not the final stage. It is just like a bridge you have to pass. So he went into the garden, planted the seeds. Then the father came after 1 year. He asked. The first son was very happy because he thought the youngest has desired them. How he can return the seeds, the same seeds, how can he return them? Now they have become plants and are flowering. And the second has also missed because he has changed the seeds. He has purchased, he went to the market, purchased new seeds. The second thought that the first will miss because his seeds will be already rotten, useless, dead. And the third has already missed because seeds were to be preserved. Exact, literally. And he has not preserved them. I am going to win. But the third never thought about winning. He was not interested in any victory. He was simply interested in one thing, that the father has said the seeds have to be preserved. And seeds are a phase, not a goal. The only way to preserve them is to allow them to grow. And now the flowers have come, and soon seeds will be coming in millions. And he was just happy that the father will be happy. And then the father came and he told to the first son that you are stupid. Seeds are not to be preserved in safety vaults. They are not to be preserved in banks. Because if you preserve a seed, you kill. A seed can be preserved only if it is allowed to die into the soil and allowed to be reborn. He said to the second son that you did better than the first, because you understood that the old seeds will die. The quantity remains the same. And the seed, if preserved, becomes millionfold. If a seed is preserved, it becomes millionfold. You did better than the first, but you have also missed. And then he asked the third son, and he took his father to the garden and he said, I have not preserved them in the safe. I have not sold them in the market. I have thrown them into the ground. These are the seeds, but now they have become plants, and the plants are flowering. And soon there will be many seeds. If you want seeds, I will return you millionfold. The father said, you have won. You will be the king of this kingdom. Because the only way to preserve a seed is to allow it to die so that it is reborn. That's what Jesus says. If you bring forth that within yourselves, that which you have will save you. If you do not have that within yourselves, that which you do not have will kill you. But you have not looked at all within. You have not even had a single glimpse. So whatsoever you have is going to destroy you. It cannot save you. You may have wealth, you may have power, you may have many things of this world, but nothing is going to save you. On the contrary, that weight of the world is going to drown you. You have gathered much weight, and that is what is drowning you already. Your boat is half drowned already. You cannot leave the boat also because your all possessions are there. You have to carry them to the other source. But the possessions belong to this source and they cannot go to the other source. Nobody has ever been capable to take anything from this world to the other. When you die, how can you carry anything from this world to the other? When you die, your body drops. And all that could be carried through the body. And all that you possessed was possessed through the body. When body drops, the very medium, the very vehicle drops, then you cannot carry anything from this world. It is impossible. That's why many clever people think, don't collect the commodities of the world. Just collect knowledge, because knowledge can be carried. Remember well, knowledge also cannot be carried. Because when the body drops, the brain drops, and brain is the accumulator of knowledge. Your brain is the computer in which knowledge information collects. It is also outside. If you take the brain of Einstein out, he will be an ordinary idiot. Because with the brain, knowledge disappears. But if you take the brain of Jesus out, there will be no difference. He will remain the same. Because Jesus accumulates awareness, not knowledge. So there are three types of people. The most outwardly, they collect things. They cannot be carried to the other soul. Then the second, who are not so outwardly, but still outwardly, they collect knowledge, scriptures, theories, philosophies. They are more clever, but still stupid. Because knowledge is accumulated in the brain, and brain is part of the body, innermost part, but part of the body is still. And when the body drops, the brain drops. Then there is a third person who accumulates awareness, who cultivates awareness, whose whole life goal is to be more and more conscious. This consciousness is your innermost self. Only this consciousness goes to the other source. Only this consciousness belongs to the other source. In this body, both the worlds exist. This and that. Of the matter and of consciousness. And within these two worlds, there exists an interlink. That interlink is your knowledge. Drop things and drop knowledge. Just grow more and more in awareness, consciousness. Become more and more alert. The more alert, the much you will carry from this world to the other. You will not go like a poor man. You will go rich. In this world you may look like a poor man, like a Buddha, a beggar, a bhikkhu. But in the other world you will be like a king, because you will carry only. It happens when Pompey was discharged by a volcanic eruption. The whole city in the midnight was afire. Buildings were falling and people were escaping. Everybody was carrying something or other because the city was very rich. And people were carrying their richest things. Somebody was carrying his gold, somebody his diamonds, somebody his money. Scholars were carrying their scriptures, books, whatsoever that could be saved they were carrying. But there was only one man who was not carrying anything, just his walking stick. And those who were carrying things were very much disturbed, worried, their whole life is destroyed. Only this man was walking amid the crowd as if he is going for his morning walk. That was his usual routine. At 3 o'clock in the morning, he used to go for a morning walk, and this was the time. Whosoever looked at him, he said, "What? You couldn't save anything? Everything is lost?" The man said, "I had not had anything. I didn't have anything. And all that I have, I am carrying." "Then why are you walking like you are going for a morning walk? It is such a crisis. Whole lives are destroyed. People are ruined." And the man laughed and he said, "Because whatsoever you have accumulated is of this world. Death ruins it. fire burns it. I have accumulated only awareness. It may be a crisis for you. For me, it is time for my morning walk. This man is the mystic. This man is the yogi. This man is about whom Jesus is talking. If you bring forth that within yourself, that which you have will save you. If you do not have that within yourself, that which you do not have will kill you. If you are poor inside, you may be rich outside, but you are going to be destroyed by your own possessions. If you are rich inside, then don't bother. Then whether you have got anything or not, death cannot snatch anything from you. Awareness only transcends death. That is the only ray of light in human life which transcends death. Can you die fully aware? That's the only whole point. But if you have not lived fully aware, how can you die fully aware? Even in a life you are so unaware, how can you be aware in death? Remember that whenever there is too much pain, body has an automatic mechanism to throw you into unawareness. Because otherwise it will be intolerable. Doctors have invented anesthesia very late, but nature knows anesthesia. It has known anesthesia always. Whenever you come to a point when it is too much pain, suddenly you become unconscious, you faint, because it will be intolerable. So body has the inner thermostat. You may be saying to people that it is intolerable, my pain is intolerable, but you are wrong. Because if it is intolerable, you will be unconscious. There exists no pain which can be called intolerable. All pains are tolerable, all sufferings are tolerable. That's why you are alert, otherwise you will faint. And death is the most painful thing. When death comes, this is the greatest surgery possible, because your whole being has to be taken away, separated from the body with which you have become so much identified in one. It is not cutting a finger. It is not cutting a hand. It is not removing your appendix. It is removing your whole body from you. No doctor can do that yet. The whole body is being removed, separated. And you have lived with this body for 70 years, 80 years. And not only lived, you have lived in identification. You thought you are the body. The pain is such, you will become unconscious. The whole life is a preparation to be aware in death. That's what a sannyasi should do. That's what a seeker should do. Be ready. Don't lose a single moment. Because once lost, it cannot be regained again. And the only richness that you can get out of it is being more aware. Do whatsoever, but do it with alertness, awareness. Your life may be different, but your inner search cannot be different. It is the same. You may be a businessman, you may be a professor, you may be a doctor or an engineer or a laborer. It makes no difference. Inner search is the same, and that is how to get more and more conscious. a point comes when you are so much conscious that even death cannot make you unconscious. This is what Jesus means. Unfold that which is within you. If you have that, you will be saved. If you don't have that, you will be drowned. And in another saying, Jesus says a very strange thing. He says, those who have, they should be given more. And those who don't have, even that which they have will be taken away. Looks absurd. Jesus says, those who have, they should be given more. And those who don't have, even that they have will be taken away from them. This he says about awareness. Because awareness attracts more awareness. You become aware and you become capable of being more aware. Every step leads to a further step. If you are not aware, then every step leads you further away. I have heard one Mullah Nasruddin one night knocked at the door at 3 in the morning. He was punch drunk. The landlord opened the window and looked down and said, Nasruddin, I have told you many times that this is the wrong door. This is not your door. You go to your house and knock there. You are knocking at the wrong door. Nasruddin looked up and said, what makes you so certain? Maybe you are looking from the wrong window. What makes you so certain? The drunkenness of man is such that it is impossible to think that I am wrong. The other is going to be wrong. If you suffer in your life, you suffer because you are somewhere losing your consciousness. You are wrong. But you think the other may be looking from the wrong window. You are always knocking on the right door. You have been knocking always at the wrong door. Because all the doors in this world are wrong. Unless you knock at the inner door, which is not part of this world. It moves with you, but it is not part of this world. You carry something within you which does not belong to this world. That is your treasure and that is your door from which God can be approached. Jesus says, grow in that which you are already carrying. The one way has already happened. You are not aware, just a little bit. A cloudy awareness, a dim light. Very dim, you cannot see, but that has happened. That's how you are higher than the animals. Even that is not in the animals. The first ray of consciousness has penetrated you. But that ray of consciousness is just a mustard seed. You have to give it soil. What is the soil for it? Hindus have called that soil satsang. Go near to those who have grown higher than you. Just be near them in their presence. And your ray of consciousness will become higher and higher. It meets a challenge. But the common tendency of the mind is always to move with the inferior. Always to move with people who are even less alert than you, Why? Because there you feel superior. There you feel you are somebody. Everybody seeks the inferior, and through the seeking becomes inferior himself. Whenever you reach to a man like Jesus, you are disturbed, because you cannot assert your superiority here. You are inferior. It is not an inferiority complex. Simply, you are inferior before Jesus, because your consciousness is nothing. And he is a light so tremendous that you almost become dark before him. Even the flicker, the one ray of consciousness, seems to be nothing. It has to be so. You take your earthen lamp out in the day before the sun, and what you will feel? The earthen lamp, the flame, as if it has become dark before the sun. Take your earthen lamp into a dark room, it becomes the sun itself. Hence the tendency of the mind to seek the inferior. It is just like water. As water seeks lower and lower level always, mind seeks the inferior always. A husband would not like to marry a woman who is wiser than him. No. He will not marry a woman who is taller than him. No. He will not marry a woman who is elder in years than him. No. Why? Biologically, it would be better. If a husband marries a woman who is at least 5 years elder than him, because then they can die together. Because a wife is going to live 5 years more than a man. She has a longer age limit. And then there will be no widows in the world. And it is a very sad thing. Biologically, it will be the right method that a boy of 20 should marry a girl of 25. But the ego feels hurt. You would not like to marry a taller girl also, because the ego feels hurt. You will not marry a wise woman, no. The mind always seeks the inferior. Look at your friends. Why you have chosen them? Deep down this you will find the cause, that they are inferior to you. With them you become a great light. Otherwise you are an ordinary flame in an earthen lamp. The mind seeks the inferior to prove that he is superior. People even love animals. People who cannot love human beings, how can they love animals? But a dog buttresses you so beautifully, no man can do. Whether you beat him, welcome him, it makes no difference. He goes on moving, waving his tail. He is always welcoming you. He always goes with you wherever you go. You cannot find a better follower than a dog. Why people enjoy the fellowship of a dog? The inferior helps. You feel you are superior. Mullah Nasruddin was playing cards with his dog. A man looked. She was surprised. The dog was really playing. So he said to Nasruddin, "Nasruddin, you have really a strange and white dog." Nasruddin said nothing. he is not so wise as he appears. Because whenever he gets a good hint, he wakes the taste. Not so wise as he looks. The mind always seeking the inferior. And there comes a point when even a dog sometimes can be superior than you. In many ways he is more strong. If he fights, you will be nowhere. Then people go on falling, then they seek things. Then a car becomes their love object. Do whatsoever you want to do. And the car cannot do anything. Then a house. Then things, possessions. With things you feel like a person. Very superior. Satsang means always choose the company of the superior. The mind will help you to choose the company of the inferior. Be alert and avoid this. Because with the inferior you will become inferior. More and more the ray of consciousness will be lost into darkness. Always choose the superior. Move toward the superior. But your ego will feel hurt. The ego has to be left. Satsang means living against the ego, transcending the ego. Always seeking the superior. And you want to encounter God. And you are not happy in encountering Jesus and Buddha. How it is possible then? Because God is the superior most light. The climax of all existence. The flowering of all life. If you choose the inferior always, how can you really desire to enter into the kingdom of God? You are following the wrong path. Remember this. And only one point has to be continuously minded. And that is, move in circles with people, with friends, with books. Always remembering that something superior is there. So that you can drop your ego, you can feel inferior and drop the ego. And always seek the superior. By and by, one step, another step, you will be able to encounter Jesus. And only if you can encounter Jesus, you will be able to encounter God. That is the meaning when Jesus says, except through me you cannot reach him. This is the meaning. If you cannot encounter me, how can you think to encounter the Supreme Most? If you encounter the Son, then the possibility that you may be capable of encountering the Father. Because the Son is just the representative. Avataras, Buddhas, Tirthankaras, they are just the representative. They are a light from the Supreme. If you cannot encounter them, if you cannot live with them, if your ego cannot allow them to exist with you, then there is no possibility for the final, ultimate truth. Jesus said, let him who seeks not cease seeking until he finds. Mind is lethargic. And whenever you move upwards, it is more lethargic. If you move downwards, it has much energy. Because a downward movement needs no effort. It is just water falling from a waterfall, going low. No effort is needed. To reach health, no effort is needed. You will reach automatically. Don't do anything and you will reach. You are already flowing towards lower and lower and lower. And the lowest state of your mind is hell. It is not something outside. It is the lowest rung of your ladder, where all consciousness disappears. You become just like a vegetating phenomenon. But if you start moving higher upwards, then the effort will be needed. Much effort will be needed. That's what Jesus says, let him who seeks not cease seeking until he finds. Many times there will come moments when the mind will say, what are you doing? Why are you doing so much effort? Relax. Enjoy. Rest. And if you listen to the mind, you will be thrown back. Don't listen to the mind. A seeker should persist and go on making efforts until he finds. But the saying looks against Zen. It has to be understood. It is not. Because Zen masters say, be effortless. Don't make any effort, otherwise you will miss. A slight movement and you have already missed. Be at rest. Be totally relaxed in a let go, as if you are not, and you will attain. They say, seek, and you will miss. Don't seek, and you will find. Jesus saying looks against, it is not. Because as you are, you cannot be in a total let go. Even if you try, even if you relax, activity continues. Zen is not for you as you are. Jesus is for you as you are. And if you follow Jesus, a moment will come when Zen will be for you. When that moment will come, when you have exhausted all your effort, when you have done everything that could be done, when you have come to the last peak of your effort, now nothing can be done. Now there is no more to do. You have put all that you could. Now nothing is being held behind. Your whole energy has moved into the effort. And it is not now that you stop. Because the whole energy has moved into the effort, there comes a stop. There comes a relaxation. It happens. A let go happens. You cannot do. It is just like a man who has been running and running and running. And then comes a moment he cannot run. Even if you are putting a bayonet behind him and you say, move, he says, no possibility. I have heard about a frog. He got into a rut on a muddy village road. He went into the rut, but he couldn't get out of it. It was so difficult. He tried and tried and nothing. His friends helped They did all that could be done, and then evening was coming. So in a very depressed, frustrated state, they had to leave him to his fate. Next day, the friends were thinking that he must be dead by now, because just on the road, in a rut. So they went to see him, and they found him hopping here and there, and they asked, what happened? How you could get out of the rut? It seems impossible, a miracle. How it happened? The frog said, nothing. A truck came by and I had to come. A truck was coming and I had to come out. The whole effort was not applied when there was no danger. If you can see death, the truck coming by, you will put whole effort of your being. You will come out of the rut. You have been missing because you have been holding back. You do, you meditate half-heartedly. It is a lukewarm effort. You cannot evaporate through it. Because there is a particular law. A degree has to be attained. Only then evaporation happens. You do this and that, and you know well that you are half in it. Half in it, nothing can happen. The truck has not come yet. You are in the rut. Half of your being wants to get out, but half of your being does not want to get out. You want to be free, but the rut gives you a certain protection also. And the rut gives you a security also. It looks like a home. Just getting out seems to be too much effort. Jesus says, seek and seek until you find. Go on making the effort. Bring the effort to a climax, to a crescendo. Then Zen becomes applicable. If you study Zen in the beginning, you can move in a wrong direction. And that is happening in the West. Because people in the West who have written about Zen don't know what effort Zen people have been making before they relax. And it appeals to the lazy mind very much. That's why so much attraction about Zen in the West. Don't do anything. It appeals. Because nothing is needed. You are already the case. It appeals. But it is not going to help. Much has to be done before you can come to a point where relaxation is possible. And that relaxation is not from you. It happens. Because the whole energy has moved. Nothing remains behind to be restless. Rest comes. And Zen is right. Because only in that rest the ultimate is revealed. And Jesus is right, because that rest comes only when you have put all your energies into effort. Jesus is the first part and Zen is the last part of the same process. Zen is the conclusion. Jesus is the beginning. And I would suggest to you that Jesus is better for you because you all are beginners. Zen can mislead you. The very appeal maybe for wrong reasons. You may start thinking that nothing is to be done. I am okay as I am. You are not okay as you are. Otherwise there is no problem. Why you should come to me? Why you should go to Zen? Why you should seek Jesus? If you are really okay, then there is no problem. Then why you seek? Then why waste your time in seeking? Then everything is useless if you are really okay. Then there is no yoga for you, no tantra, no method. But that is not the case. As you are, something is wrong. You are not happy. You are not blissful. You are not ecstatic. You are a miserable lot, a misery, a deep anguish. Your being is ill. No, you are not okay. Everything is wrong. Listen to Jesus. Let him who seeks not cease seeking until he finds. And only in the end you will find Zen people are right. Because when you have done everything that can be done, effort disappears. Effortlessness comes to you. In that repose, in that stillness, where there is no movement, no activity, no energy left to do anything, there is samadhi. There is the ultimate door. It happens always in effortlessness, but the effortlessness happens through much effort. Seek and do not cease seeking until you find. And when he finds, he will be troubled. A very difficult thing. And when he finds, he will be troubled, he will marvel, and he will reign over all. Why? When you find, why you will be troubled? You will be troubled. Because the thing is so great. It is so vast, infinite. When you find it for the first time, you will be completely lost. When for the first time you become aware of it, it is as if a man who has lived all his life in a dark room, in a dark cell, has been brought into the open sky, into the light of the sun. He will be troubled. His eyes will not be able to open. Even if he opens the eyes, he will be so dazzled that the light will look like darkness. The first encounter with the divine is a crisis. Because you have lived many, many lives in a wrong way. You have lived many lives so miserably that when bliss happens, you cannot believe it. You will be troubled. You never expected it. You never knew what is going to happen. You talk about God. Do you know? What do you mean? The word God is not God. The theories about God are not God. You may know the definition from the dictionary, from the scripture, but really, what do you mean when you say, I am seeking God? I have heard a small boy was making a picture, painting, and the mother asked, what are you doing? And he was so absorbed in it. He said, wait, don't disturb me. I'm making a portrait of a God. the mother said, but nobody knows how God looks. Nobody knows where God is. How you will make a portrait of him? The boy said, don't be worried. When I get through, they will know how God looks. Every seeker in this situation, you don't know what you are seeking. You don't know what is the goal. You don't know where you are going, why you are going. A deep urge is there that is right. A deep thirst is there that is right. But you have never tasted for what this thirst exists. You move. You grope. When suddenly it will happen, you will be troubled. This sentence shows that Jesus has known. A man who has not known God cannot write this sentence. A man who has not known God, he cannot say that when you find him, you will be troubled. He will say, then you will be blissful, absolutely blissful. Bliss comes, but it comes only when the crisis has settled. It is the greatest catastrophe that you can come across, God. Because you will be settled completely. You will be no more. You will be thrown into a bottomless abyss. You will become a zero. Your whole existence will disappear like vapor. Suddenly you are dispersed like a cloud, and the sun rises, and the light is too much, and the truth is too much, and you have lived always in lies. Your whole life has been a fabric. Woven out of lies and more lies and more lies. You will be settled, completely settled. You will die. When God arises, when the truth is revealed, you will simply disappear. And right is Jesus. You will be troubled. Many have come back from this situation. Many have left. Many have escaped from this situation. And then they never turn back. They become afraid. I have a feeling that people who are atheists are people who somewhere in their past lives have reached to this situation. And they became so troubled that they closed their eyes and escaped. And now they don't want to go to that situation again. And the best way is to deny that there is no God. They are like small children. If you say to a small child that don't eat sweets, don't eat this and that, and if you force too much and you make him so much afraid, and whenever he eats the sweets he becomes ill and diarrhea and he must trouble comes to him, then look at the small boy. If he moves into the market, he will close the eyes wherever there is a possibility of a sweet shop or something. He will close the eyes. Afraid, he is denying. He is saying, there is no shop, nothing. Because if there is, if the sweets are there, then it will be difficult not to get again attracted. Atheists are those people who somewhere in their past life encountered this situation and they became so scared that now they deny, they say there is no God. This denial is based on a deep fear. It is psychological, it is not philosophical. I have come across many atheists, and whenever I penetrate deep, I have always found that they are the people. Somewhere they got so scared that the very fear grips them. If God is there, then again He will attract. If God is there, then again they will start moving. No, there is no God, no truth, nothing. Everything is a lie. And whole life is just an accident. Then they are at ease. Then they can avoid the final catastrophe. Jesus is right. And when He finds, He will be troubled. And He will also come. Many of you sometimes have reached, not exactly to the point Jesus is talking about, but just somewhere near. And you have come to Me. And you have told Me that it is very difficult now. I cannot meditate. I don't want to meditate. A fear grips me. And it looks like it is going to be a death. And I had come to You to seek life, not death. And I am scared. And there is anxiety. And whenever I close My eyes and I move deeper, suddenly I feel as if I am going to die. Many of you have come and told this to Me. That's a good sign. That shows you are really going deep. That shows that the meditation is happening. Don't escape from there. Because there is the treasure of the whole. Just a little more. And you will come to the point where you will be troubled. So much troubled that your whole being will be at a stake. And there is every possibility that you may escape. If you escape, then for many lives you will not be able to gather courage to go in that direction. You will simply avoid that damage. When trouble arises in your inner being, be alert. Don't try to escape. Move, go ahead. Everybody has to pass through that. The school to which Jesus belonged, the Essenes, they have a word for that state of trouble. They call it dark night of the soul. Everybody has to pass through it. Only then the dawn comes. When you have passed the dark night of the soul, darker the night, happier you should feel. Because sooner there will be dawn. Soon, out of the womb of this night, a son is going to be born. Soon, it is not very far away. Darker the night, nearer it is coming. Don't try to escape. Because every morning needs a dark night as a womb. The dark night prepares the crown for the morning to be. That troubled state is the womb through which ultimate blessing will be born. Jesus is right. Listen to Him and remember Him. This is going to come to you. This is going any day to happen to you. The sooner it happens, the better. Feel blissful. When you feel troubled in your being, not because of any anxiety of this world, but because of the anxiety that comes when truth is reached, when you are close to it. The same anxiety is felt near a enlightened person also, whenever you go to him, a certain fear grips you. You start inside it trembling. You find reasons how to escape, how not to go to this man. You are attracted, and a deep fear rationalizes how to go, how not to come to this man. You are not at ease. You cannot be with a Jesus, with a Buddha. And you have to pass through it. It is part of growth. And when he finds, he will be troubled. And if he has not escaped, not turned his back, and then about to the world, in the world, then he will marvel. Then he will feel the mysterium, the mysterious. Then he will laugh and smile, because out of this night, such a beautiful morn, out of this troubled state, out of this hell and fear and anguish, such a blessing. Out of thorns, such beautiful flowers. Then he will marvel, and he will reign over all. Then he is no more a beggar. When desires disappear, and they disappear only when you have attained to yourself, because all desires are basically desires to attain the self, the inner consciousness, the innermost. When you have attained the innermost, desires disappear. You are no more a beggar. You have become an emperor. You have become a king, and he will reign over all. Now this whole existence is his kingdom. And he said, whoever finds explanation of these words will not taste death. Whoever finds explanation of these words, not explanation in words, that won't help, that I have explained to you. This is not going to make you deathless. No, not explanation in words, explanation in living, in a lived experience. Words never explain. Rather, on the contrary, they explain away. Only experience can explain. Only experience can be the explanation. And Jesus said, whoever finds explanation of these words, that is, whoever finds experience, whoever moves through this troubled state, anxiety, anguish, the spiritual night, and who has marveled and come to see the mysterium, the mysterious. There are two words. Rudolf Otto, one of the most keener, profounder thinkers of this age, he has written a very deep, profound book. That book is The Idea of the Holy. He uses two words in that book. One is tremendum. Another is mysterium. When you first reach to this troubled spot, the whole thing is such a tremendous phenomena. It is tremendum. You are lost in it. You cannot sort it out what is happening. You are simply gone crazy as if. The mind cannot function. This is the last point up to which mind can function. Now the mind has to be left behind. A tremendum happens. An earthquake, inner earthquake. A volcano erupts. Everything of the past is broken and thrown and shattered. If you can pass through this tremendum, then there arises mysterium, the mysterious. What is the mysterious? The mysterious is that which cannot be explained in any way. The mysterious that which is blissful, beautiful, ecstatic, but cannot be solved. It is the source of existence. You cannot go beyond it. There is no beyond. You can experience it, but you cannot analyze it. You can know it, but you cannot make a knowledge out of it. You can feel it, but you cannot create any theory out of it. Hence, it is the mysterium, the ultimate mystery. And he said, whosoever finds explanation of these words will not taste death. One who has tasted the final mystery of existence will not taste death. Death is no more for him. Death exists only because of the mind. Death exists only because of the ego. Death exists only because you are identified with the body. If you are not identified with the body, if you don't have a mad ego within you, if you are centered in the self, death disappears. Death is there because you are a lie. If you become true, death disappears. There is no death for the truth. It is eternal. It is eternal life. So this is the vicious circle. Because you are a lie, there is death. And because of the death, you become more afraid. You create more lies around you to protect. Then you get entangled in a vicious circle. One has to be alert and jump out of it. Death is the problem because the ego exists. And ego is the most false thing possible, the most illusory thing possible. It is not there. You have to maintain it somehow. It has to be constantly maintained. It is not a real phenomena. If you leave it even for 24 hours, it will die. 24 hours is too long. 24 minutes will do. Even 24 seconds. You have to feed it continuously. You have to pull up. You have to manipulate it. You have to support. Your whole life you work for it so that the dream can be maintained that you are somebody. And then in death it has to disappear. Then you feel the fear. You become unconscious. You are reborn in another body, in an unconscious state, and the whole vicious circle starts again. Don't be a lie. Start dropping lies. start dropping masks. Be an authentic man. And try to be whatsoever you are. Don't try to pretend that which you are not. Because pretensions won't save you. They are the very burden which is going to drown you. The truth saves. Jesus has said, truth liberates. Truth saves. Truth becomes eternal life. And he said, whoever finds explanation of these words will not taste death. And the same I say to you. If you can taste yourself, you will not taste death. If you can know yourself, you will never know any death. And that which can save is already there, but it is a mustard seed. Help it to grow. And the first help that you can do is help it to die. Don't cling to the seed, because seed is a bridge, it is not the goal. Help it to die, dissolve, so that the inner life hidden in it is freed, and the seed becomes a great tree. It's small is the seed, but the tree will be very great. Invisible almost is the seed, and the tree will become a great seed. Millions of heavenly words will take shelter in that tree. Truth not only saves you, it saves others through you. Truth not only becomes a freedom to you, it becomes a door of freedom for many others also. If you become a light, it is not only that your life will be lighted. If you become a light, then you become a light for millions also. Many can travel and reach to their goal through you. If you become a light, you become a representative, you become a Christ. I don't want you to become Christians. That's useless. That's a lie. I would like you to become Christ. And you can become. Because you have the same seat. Enough.